Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Going to go back to throw the ball. Sets up, looks, throws toward the corner of the end zone. It is intercepted! Intercepted! The Ducks have the ball! Down to the 35, the 40. Kenny Wayne's going to score! Kenny Wayne is going to score! 20, the 10, touchdown! Kenny Wayne on the interception! The most improbable finish to a football game!
Kenny Wheaton scored that day. That was 25 years ago, 25th anniversary this season. Kenny Wheaton joining us today. Where are you today, Kenny Wheaton?
Oh, I'm in Dallas, Texas.
It's like to hear that. You probably heard it a million times.
Oh, I love it. I never get tired of it.
I wasn't here, so help me understand. Like, it wasn't just a pick six. It was so much bigger than that. What was the feeling as they're driving down the field, and kind of set the stage for people who may not understand the context of it?
Well, for me, I was sort of in the same boat, meaning I didn't know how big the rival was at that time. Being a freshman, being from Arizona, I just remember them driving down the field, and it's like, man, we've been playing good all day, and they're about to, you know, win it at the end. So the feeling was just someone, let's make a play on defense. And when they came out in that set, you know, I just thought to myself, well, it's coming to me. You know, they're going to throw it to my guy. So just catch the ball. That's it. Just catch it. Don't drop it.
There's something, was there something about that set you had seen on film?
Yeah, I had watched film. Like Thursday night was my night where I stayed in and went over all the film work we've done all week, during the week. And it was just every time they got in that set, you know, and I told my roommate, John Figueres, I said, hey, I know it sounds weird, but I told him, I said, every time they get within the red zone, they line up in this set and they throw it. They throw this out. I was like, if I'm in the game, which I should be because it's three receivers, I was like, I'm going to jump it. You know, he looks at me, you know, he laughs because I'm watching film every Thursday. He lies going to the kitchen and nothing else is said. So, and it happened.
That moment in which you've got the ball in your hands, it's, you know, you can even hear it from Jerry Allen. He says he's got the ball and then he turns to, he's going to score. Was there a switch in your mind that went, I got to score now?
Well, my whole thing, once I caught it, that's the only thing I can think about is just scoring. You know, that's the 19-year-old me. It was, you know, go score, you know. As I look at it, you know, now as an old man, you know, it's like I should have stepped out of bounds. The game was over. Don't risk a fumble. But, you know, no, it was just catch it, score. Only thing on my mind.
I think if you step out of bounds, maybe it's not played at Autzen Stadium. Maybe, you know, people remember it, but it's to watch a guy go 97 yards. You don't see that often in football anyway. It took you know, when you watch it, you see all that open space. You just don't see that.
Right, right. Yeah, you don't see it. And, you know, again, that was just my mindset back then is I just believe even now I teach my son, you know, and the kids that I train. You get interception, get to the house, you know, like let's score. So, and that was what happened then, and I'm glad it went that way. You know, like you said, maybe if I step out of bounds, maybe, you know, we're not talking about it as much. But, you know, scored, so it's a good thing.
I had Damon Heward on the show a couple years ago, and he got a little salty about it. I played the clip, and he said, I would have thought you guys moved on by now. Have you talked to Damon since then, or I'm sure it's good natured?
No, I haven't talked to him. My close buddy Isaac Walker. He he sent me a picture last year. I think Damon was in L.A. with his son. Son's a good quarterback, high school quarterback.
Yep.
So Isaac took a picture with him and some other guy, and he texted to me. I had no clue. I didn't know who he was. And he was like, you don't know who it is, Wheat? So, you know, he texted me back, and I was like, oh, okay, well, tell him hello, you know, what's going on. So he sent, you know, his hey to me also via text through Isaac. So that was that. But, no, I would hope that, you know, he understands it doesn't take anything. At least I don't think that it takes anything away from him and his career that he had. You know, he was one of the best quarterbacks in the pack back then. You know, the play that just happened.
I think we talked to you last on this show. It might have been a couple years ago. What's new in Kenny Wheaton's life?
Right now, I'm doing a lot of coaching here in Texas. I coach a lot of 7-on-7 teams. I train kids every evening from 7 years old till seniors in high school. Doing a lot of work with my son. I have a sixth grade. My son's in sixth grade, so he's heavy into football. So coaching him. I have the PIC insurance there in Oregon. So we want to take care of all the insurance needs there in Oregon. So I keep busy.
I love that. So the insurance is called the PIC?
Yeah, the PIC insurance. Yes.
See, this company doesn't exist if you step out of bounds. I'm glad you took it to the house.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't exist. So it's been going well. So I enjoy it, but I'm just trying to stay young, you know, just pass on my knowledge and, you know, to kids, teach them, you know, what I feel is the proper way of playing the game, getting to the basics.
Now, we talked a few years ago about, you know, the fact that the program had become a little disconnected from a lot of the alumni. Do you feel like they did a good job of bringing you guys back in? Have you had interactions with Mario Cristobal and the staff?
I've met Coach and a couple of the staff guys last year. I was in Eugene and I was invited over. So I got a chance to meet him. Didn't really get to talk to him. He was, you know, he's been pulled all different directions, but I did get a chance to meet him. From what I hear and what I'm seeing, it looks like things are going in the right direction as far as, you know, inviting the alumni and, you know, making things a little bit better. So that's definitely a good thing.
I know that when I wrote about you needing a ticket to the game, we had about 500 people who wanted you to sit with them. I mean, I don't think Kenny Wheaton's going to have to worry about getting a ticket.
And I thank you for that. I had some people, you know, actually questioning me like, yeah, really, why would you say that? It's the truth. It was the truth at the time. I mean, I didn't have a ticket, you know, but I thank you for it. And yeah, and the Duck family, like always, had open arms, very generous. And I was getting Facebook messages and Instagram DMs, you know, telling me that they had a ticket for me. So I thank everyone for that.
Let's go back in that time when you're a freshman at Oregon. You've got a defensive backfield that's pretty, you got some talent out there, and you guys all trusted each other. Did you come to understand the Washington rivalry after a few years of playing in it? Because I think the players back then did more trash talking than the guys do today.
Yeah, it was a lot more talk. Well, it looks like it's a lot more talking. I think a lot of these guys are nice guys in today's game. I understood it more, I would probably say, 2 years. So 96, my last year. You know, it's like, okay, this is really serious. You know, like, you know, it's a different game, you know, and I was able to tell, you know, strictly by the fans, you know. The next year I'm like, okay, yeah, they just pissed off at me because of what happened last year. But no, I realized how serious it was. And it was a lot of talking, and, you know, it's a game you have to really strap up and be ready.
The guys that were in that defensive backfield with you, how solid were they? And are you still in touch with those guys at all?
Alex Molden and I, we communicate often, so we talk. Chad Cota, I haven't talked to Cota, you know, that much as of late. Herman O'Berry, I haven't spoke with. Other guys that came in part-time like myself, Isaac Walker, talked to him almost 2 or 3 times a week. So Jair Figueres, Sherman, I haven't spoke with in a couple of years. So, you know, we all old and going our separate ways, but we kind of keep up with each other via Facebook or Instagram. You can look and see what guys are doing. So it's a good thing.
Yeah, when you mention that, when I think of Kenny Wheaton, Alex Molden, Chad Cota, I mean, those were guys that all went to the NFL, were all highly coveted players, had nice, you know, did you realize at the time how much talent you guys had in that defensive backfield?
I knew we had talent just based on practice, you know, because starting that year off, I mean, I was like in really third string. I was probably the beginning of '94, I was third string corner, you know, and it was, I was thinking I wasn't going to be, I would never see the field that year. So, you know, I knew it was a lot of talent, but as you get older and as you watch throughout the years, once we left and you look at the different defensive backfields that was there, you're like, you know what, our team, you know, we was pretty talented. You know, when you start talking about names, you know, with just defensive backs, we always comparing, you know, to others. You know, and I'd look and say, yeah, you know, I think we were probably the best or, you know, one of the top two or three, you know, groups at that point.
When you think back to your coaching staff and the time you had at Oregon, you know, what was it like to be a young guy that, you know, you weren't from this area, you come to the state of Oregon. I don't know how much you knew about Oregon, but you get here and you're a long way from home. You've got that coaching staff mentoring you. What was that like?
It was great. It was everything, actually. You know, like you said, I'm from Phoenix, Arizona. So, you know, being there is cold, it's raining every day, two things I wasn't used to, and just being away from home. But to have Coach Aliotti, you know, there as a defensive coordinator, defensive back coach, you know, was huge. But Coach Brooks, more than anything for me, for whatever reason, he took to me, and I, you know, I didn't understand it. My redshirt year, he just did. I mean, to me, Coach was mean to everyone, you know, but, you know, that was just Coach Brooks. But, you know, some can tell, and I knew I could tell, he had this soft spot for me, you know, so, and it was good because I was very homesick. So it all worked out.
You know, Aliotti listens to this show. It airs statewide, so he's in Eugene and picks his grandkids up. I'll get a text from him during the show, and he's listening, so I'm sure that warms his heart to hear that.
Oh, yeah. No, Coach is my guy. You know, he called me Taz. So, no, that's my guy. He believed in me. You know, he threw me out there when, you know, like I was saying earlier, even myself, I felt I could play, but I didn't think I would, considering all the guys we had in front of me. But he believed in me enough. He saw something in me to throw me out there, and, you know, the rest is history.
And I think, again, we're talking to Kenny Wheaton, former Oregon Duck, former NFL player as well, a guy who went to the Dallas Cowboys in the third round of the 97 draft. And for people who don't know your story, your brother Derek was supposed to come to Oregon. And I know I've written about it, and you and I have talked about it, but he was shot prior to making the trip to Oregon, lost his life. And at that time, you're a young person. You're away from home. You have that happen. You really have to lean into football.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, Derek was murdered November 20th, 1997, and I was a rookie with the Cowboys, and he was supposed to come to Oregon. Had he come right out of high school, I would have stayed my senior year to play with him, but he didn't qualify as far as test-wise. He went to junior college. So it was a tough time. You know, I was here in Dallas by myself when it happened, and all my family is back in Phoenix. So trying to juggle football and just life and deal with that was tough, but that's all I had was football, you know, to kind of take me away from it for a couple hours a day without sleeping much. So it was definitely a rough time in my life.
Your older brother, Robbie, that bring you guys closer?
Yes, but, you know, if you ask anyone that knew the Wheaton family, the Wheaton boys, we had always, my mom and dad, that's just who they were. We was very close, the three of us. You know, we all 3 years apart, all of us. So, but, you know, we was raised very close. So, you know, Robbie have always been just your whatever the definition is as a big brother, that was him from day one. And it's still this way to this day. I just hung up with him, you know, to do this interview, you know, and he's my best friend, you know. But it did, you know, it brought us closer. You know, that's almost, you'd have said, told me that beforehand. I'd say it's impossible because we're already close, but it did.
The details that, we've heard, you know, your brother was on a payphone talking to his girlfriend outside 7-Eleven. And I know that the story went for years that you wouldn't go to a 7-Eleven. Will you still not go?
I started going to a 7-Eleven about, my son is nine. When he was nine. I would say about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I would, you know, but for many years, I wouldn't go to a 7-Eleven, regardless of what city, state I was in. I would just pass it up, you know, but I got to a point where it's like, you know, having two kids of my own and trying to, you know, deal with it finally, you know, so I could try and move on a little bit. I had to start going. I've never been to the 7-Eleven in which it happened, which is 3 minutes from my mom and dad's house in Phoenix. Now, I pass by there every time I'm in Arizona, but I have never, and I don't think I would ever step foot, you know, in that store again. So it's tough.
Kenny, I bring that up because I want, you know, people see the pic and they celebrate and then, you know, I know I talked to you a few years ago, and what I was struck by was, like, there was so much more to Kenny Wheaton than that play. It, you know, and that play is, you know, iconic for Oregon football. But I just think you have such a gift in sharing with young people now, and I'm glad that you have gone that direction to mentor, coach, and help young people. Why was that important to you?
It's very important. You know, like I mentioned earlier, my mom and dad was the type of parents that, you know, in our neighborhood, it wasn't many two-parent homes in our neighborhood. So everyone was at our home. And, you know, we grew up giving, you know, seeing my mom and dad give. So, and that's what I'm doing now. That's what I do. You know, I teach my kids. So it's huge for me to mentor these kids that I train that's in high school. You know, I've run into kids over the years that's dealing with some issues. And a lot of what I went through, you know, I'm able to help them. I'm able to give them advice because, like you said, you know, I'm more than just that guy that made the play, the pick. You know, there's so much more to me, you know, and I'm thankful for that. But every chance I get, you know, I talk about it because I think it can help someone. You know, I think it's someone out there that's dealing with something a little worse or similar, that maybe my words, and they can see that, you know, I'm moving. It still hurt, but I'm moving on and I'm trying to help. So maybe they can.
Kenny, somebody put a stopwatch to the pick, 16 seconds from the time that you break on the ball to the time you cross the end zone. You're in full gear. Your momentum's carrying you to the sideline. Then you're getting up the field. Could you go 97 yards in 16 seconds right now?
There's no way. There's no way. I walk around. I have a torn Achilles that's not fixed in my right leg. I have a hole in my kneecap, my right kneecap. No. It'll take me probably about 40 seconds.
I know you'll be happy to hear this. This will make you smile, but I just got a text message from Coach Aliotti, your old coach, who's listening to the show. Yeah. He says, Kenny Wheaton, what a winner.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach. Yeah, no, it means a lot. You know, I tell people all the time, I was asked, a young guy in Portland messaged me Instagram and asked me, do I think I'm one of the best defensive backs to ever play? He's a high schooler. You know, and I just started laughing. I thought it was a great, well, at Oregon, I thought it was a great question. But, you know, and I quickly thought, you know, coaches like Coach Aliotti and Coach Bilotti will have to answer that. But it feels good to know that, you know, Coach, you know, he still viewed me in a certain light. You know, have a lot of respect and a lot of love for Coach Aliotti.
I think you take Wheaton, Coda, Molden, maybe Ifo Ekpre-Olomu at the other corner. I think that's a pretty good defensive backfield.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I like to say, as long as I'm in there somewhere. Yeah, I'm in there somewhere. That's good enough for me.
Kenny Wheaton, I appreciate you. Thank you for making time for us, and happy 25th.
Oh, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the time.
Coach Eliotti texted me, Nick Eliotti. Kenny Wheaton, what a winner. I don't have anything to add to that. Love that interview with Kenny Wheaton, former Oregon defensive back. Love all the feedback that I'm getting from people who listen to it. Make sure that you're following me on Twitter, at John Canzano BFT. Love that people reach out. Carl in Los Angeles has tweeted at me, says, great interview. The great Thurios has tweeted at me as well. Such a great interview. Loved hearing his thoughts. And yes, I still remember the play. It still gives me chills. I also tweeted out a photograph of Kenny Wheaton. Peter Sampson, can you pull that photograph up in front of you? Because I'm going to ask you a question about that photograph. It shows Kenny Wheaton, who's just intercepted a pass, and he is headed up the Oregon sideline in front of the Oregon coaching staff. Do you notice anyone in that photograph that has a connection to the Portland Trailblazers?
I'm looking. Let me see here.
Connection to the Portland Trailblazers in that photograph. It's pretty interesting. It's obvious. Do you see the gentleman who has jumped into the air, has sunglasses on?
I do. It's a little blurry. I can't really see who it is, though.
Would it surprise you to know that that gentleman who's on the sideline jumping into the air is former Blazers broadcaster Mike Barrett?
Really? That would surprise me.
Very excited. You can see the coaching staff, the Oregon coaching staff on the sideline, of course. They're all excited, but I love that little bit of history as Mike Barrett leaps up. He's the, if you ever see that picture and you're a Duck fan, look for Mike Barrett, Blazers, former Blazers broadcaster, now with the Portland Diamond Project. The trivia question should be, somebody who's trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland is in that photograph.
See, now that you've said it, it's completely obvious.
Yeah. So there you have it. Alabama Adriana, I want to know what you thought of that interview with Kenny Wheaton.
I love getting to know more about him than just that play. I like that you asked him those questions, and what a great guy. He just seems like such a good person all around.
Yeah, the story of his brother just breaks my heart. And, you know, here's a guy who left for the NFL early. Had his brother not been shot and killed, and that murder still unsolved. He was at a payphone outside of 7-Eleven, 3 miles from his parents' house, and he's gunned down, and a lot of speculation that it was somebody who knew him, somebody that was, you know, familiar with him. Obviously, he was targeted, but if he isn't shot and killed, he was headed to Oregon himself. Kenny Wheaton probably stays at Oregon. Kenny Wheaton's career with the Dallas Cowboys, unremarkable. I mean, you know, you talk about a guy who's, your brother gets shot as you're being drafted, you're in training camp with your NFL team, your brother's killed. You know, Kenny said if his brother had gone earlier, he would have stayed. His brother ended up at a community college instead of going to Oregon, and then ended up obviously murdered. All right, coming up, we're going to go to Pullman, Washington. Why? Because Patrick Chun, the athletic director at Washington State, will be on the show. I'm excited to talk to him about Pac-12 issues, building a stadium, expanding a stadium, building a practice facility.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.